This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Today I'm talking with Jonathan Trapp, who has designed a unique lighter-than-aircraft using 370 small helium-filled balloons. He's now in Caribou, Maine, where he's waiting for a weather window to open sometime in July, August, or September, so he can fly the system across the Atlantic Ocean. So you've thought all of this out very carefully, and you've been looking at the weather. What are the chances that you'll be able to do it in this window that you have?
Oh, I think we'll have multiple opportunities to do it in the window. And part of the reason is we're allowing ourselves an ample window. Mm-hmm. How do you plan for weather? You know, we can plan for so many components, but how do you schedule weather? Well, you wait. Right. You know, you give yourself a large window and wait for the whole window. So instead of just saying, well, I've got 2 weeks to do it and really hope the weather will come, or, you know, watching the weather and just dashing up here at the last moment. Hmm. It's like, oh, it's finally good. Let's get up there. I rented out my house in North Carolina. I put everything in storage. I came here. I got a hangar. I rented a home, and I'm here for 4 months. 1 month in the prep time, and 3 months waiting for the weather system. So in that 3 months, there should be multiple opportunities, and then we just have to be patient, maybe let one marginal one go by, something like that, as we wait for a system that we feel confident in.
Oh, okay. So once you get the weather that you want, what are the other issues that you face, or what are the challenges that that you're most thinking about?
Well, we've solved for some of the biggest ones, and that comes back to the test flight. You know, we did a test flight of this system in Mexico, took it to 20,000 feet on a 7.5 hour flight. One of the main things is the ability to put down in water. If I have to ditch at sea, you have to be able to land it into the water, land the gondola. So the gondola itself is a rugged, double-hulled polyethylene lifeboat. It's designed to preserve human life at sea. So that's the gondola that I'll ride in. And in the test flight, we proved that everything would fly and did a full-scale test. Well, not full-scale. It wasn't the same number of balloons, but for 7.5 hours, 118 miles across the deserts of Mexico, including a splashdown landing. That is kind of what you might call a touch and go with a seaplane, but it was extended touch and go. I kept floating across the lake till I was almost out of lake. So you ask, what's in front of me now in terms of what I need to make ready? Once the weather system comes, there's still a very large contingent of crew. It's going to take at least 50 people to stand the aircraft. So that if you think about 25 teams of two, that gives you 25 people inflate or 25 teams inflating the balloon at a time. They do about 4 an hour. So about 15 minutes to inflate a balloon, 4 an hour, 25 teams, 4 an hour, that's 100 an hour, 4 hours, I should get through all the balloons, 400, and then a couple of hours to assemble the system, taking us to 6 to 7 hours, plus some time for contingency, and depending on when, I'm already running out of night. Because the days are so short this far north this time of year. A little later in the year, I'll have more nighttime, which gives me more contingency. Come dawn, it's hard to stay on the ground. The winds start picking up and you got to get into the sky. In the history of flight, there's been two transatlantic gas balloon flights from the United States, one in 78 and one in 84. And people here remember that. They say, oh, I shook his hand. Oh, my mom has a picture. But none of them helped build the aircraft. We want to have Mainers' hands on this aircraft. Boy Scouts. We had Boy Scouts filling ballast the other day and helping fold the balloons back into their bags after the gear layout. So in 10 or 20 or 30 years, those people will say, not just remember, oh, I saw that, but I helped build that aircraft that morning.
Now, you have a website where people can go sign up to volunteer as crew?
Yeah, there is a website. People can go in and send me an email note. It's clusterballoon.com. There's a form there they can fill out and send me a note. And it asks, I ask them to flag if they're a pilot, if they've ever worked with balloons, if they ever worked with high-pressure gases, so we can try and find a good fit for a team that will help us build the aircraft safely on the airfield that morning.
Now, you also have, besides all these volunteers, I understand that some of the same people who worked with the Red Bull Stratos project last year are working with you?
The meteorologist for Stratos was Don Day. He's a chief meteorologist for this expedition. all pilots are trained in weather, but I don't have a postgraduate degree in it. So Don Day brings his experience from Stratos and beyond. Colonel Kittinger advised that flight extensively and acted as CAPCOM during the flight. Colonel Kittinger was also the last person that made a transatlantic gas balloon flight from the United States back in 84. So those two members that were involved in that program are very graciously allowed themselves to be involved in this program.
And will people be able to watch your progress on during the flight, like through satellite tracking online?
Facebook is one way to get connected, because I'll post messages via the satellite messenger to that site. Once they follow, they'll be able to see the tracking points in near real time.
And is there anything else you'd like to tell us about what's going on?
Well, it's an uncommon flight. Nobody's done a flight like this. And we've been building towards it for a number of years, flight by flight, starting with a single balloon and then moving to the EAA and joining the EAA and the Home Builders Hotline, and, you know, AOPA and building our experience, my experience as an aircraft builder and as a pilot, and then taking larger and larger challenges, the English Channel, crossing the Alps, you know, from France, putting down in Italy the next day, and flying in Mexico up to that 20,000 foot level. All of these step by step builds towards this flight. And it will be, like I said, a flight like no other, epic in its scale and sweep.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and I hope you have a great adventure.
Thanks very much.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.